morning. This is Larry Phillips, and this morning we're going to be doing a Bible study on the 40th chapter of Isaiah. And I know that this has been a great blessing to me over the years, and I've done this before, but we're going to do it again because I think right now, with everything that's going on in our world, the people of God need to hear this. God's elect needs some comfort. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. So that's what I'm doing. I'm following the command of Isaiah here, or the exhortation of Isaiah here. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. So it's not just Isaiah saying it, it's Isaiah speaking prophetically from the mouth of God himself. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. You know, Isaiah is not saying to get up in front of a stadium in front of 50,000 people and tell people that Jesus died for everybody's sins. What he is saying is to speak comfortably to Jerusalem. This is to God's elect. This is to those for whom Christ died. And cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and that her iniquity is pardoned. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. God is not going to impute the sins of his elect to them, for he has died on the cross for them, and he has been a perfect sacrifice. And the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, and Christ said, "It is finished." Verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Spiritually, Isaiah is saying, yes, we have transgressed against the Lord. Yes, we have, while we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. But God, through his awesome love and mercy, has sent his Son to make all the rough places plain and the crooked places straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Well, the glory of the Lord certainly has been revealed over and over and over. The glory of the Lord has been revealed through his creation. The glory of the Lord has been revealed through Christ coming and working miracles, feeding 5,000 people with a few loaves of bread and fish. The glory of the Lord was revealed with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. The glory of the Lord was revealed with Daniel in the lion's den, saving Daniel out of the mouth of the lion. The glory of the Lord was revealed when the Israelites walked across the Red Sea on dry ground, and Pharaoh and all of his hosts were drowned in the Red Sea. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. You know, we need to be reminded that all flesh is grass. We are created beings, and apart from God's grace, we are nothing. Nothing. The grass withers, verse 7, the flower fadeth, but the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. You know, here we have a example of quickening power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. John 3, Nicodemus was told by Christ, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof. So is everyone that is born by the Spirit of God. You must be born again. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. We can depend upon God's word. His proclaimed word through his prophets, his written word. The scribes wrote down the words of God that the prophets were given. And we can depend upon the fact that the word of our God shall stand forever. God preserves his word. People want to attack the King James Version of the Bible, saying, you know, it didn't come from the oldest manuscripts, and all these other charges against the authenticity of the Textus Receptus. And I'm here to proclaim that the word of our God shall stand forever. He's preserved his word. Verse 9, O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice for strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Notice, these good tidings are to Zion. To Zion. People talk about the gospel being good news. It's not good news to everybody, but it's good news to Zion. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. God is a victorious, reigning king. We're not to be worshiping a little baby in a manger. We're supposed to be worshiping the resurrected Christ, who's seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Verse 10, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Who is this strong hand? Who is this arm? Jesus Christ. And his work is completed. And when he comes back, he's coming back not on a lowly donkey, but he's coming back as a conquering, victorious king. Verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. I'm glad that Jesus Christ is our great shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what he's saying here in verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead them, those that are with young. There's no Arminian free will altar calls here. You know, God's the one that does the feeding, God's the one that does the gathering, and God's the one that does the leading. And he says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and no man can pluck them out of my hand, for I and my Father are one. John 6. Verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and hills in a balance? You know, the oceans, which make up about 3/4 of the earth, cannot be measured. Billions and billions and trillions and quadrillion gallons of water. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span? You know, man cannot measure the height, the depth, the breadth of heaven, and comprehended the dust of the earth. Wow. Can you imagine trying to measure the dust of the earth and weighed the mountains in scales? We live down here in Pineville, Missouri, in southwest Missouri, and there's some pretty high little foothills down here. But you go to the Rocky Mountains, you go around Pikes Peak, and you know, and some of those large mountains up there, Mount Manitou and different places, and you say, well, how could you ever weigh the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? You know, the hills in Switzerland. I mean, how about Mount Everest? You know, could you weigh those in God? You know, we used to sing a song, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the little baby in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. But God's got the whole world in his hands. Who hath directed this? Verse 13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? You know, there's a lot of people acting like they are the ones that are teaching God instead of the other way around. Who directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, taught him? Let me tell you something. God is the counselor. He's the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him to him the way of understanding? I've heard people say, well, you know, what gives God the right? Well, I've got the answer. He's God. You know, are you trying to counsel God? He said, I am that I am. And so there's many people out there that are taking counsel against God and trying to instruct God, teach him the path of judgment, trying to teach God knowledge. When God's the one that created you, you worthless dog, you, to come against God himself. Put your hand on your mouth, friend. Verse 15, behold, the nations are a drop of a bucket and are counted as small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. You realize that, according to the prophet Isaiah here, God takes up the islands as just a little thing. There's lots of islands. The Philippines, Jamaica. You know, think of all of the islands. They're just a very little thing to God. No big deal. Verse 16, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. You know, there's a scripture that says that it's not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood he entered the holy place once for us. 17, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. It's hard for us to comprehend. We look at our world and we look at the powerful nations of Russia and the United States and some of the other large nations, you know, in Africa and Europe. And it says here that these are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. God is so marvelous and so supreme. The supremacy of Christ is nothing that our minds can wrap. We can't wrap our minds around that. You know. Verse 18, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? What was it that Lucifer said? I will arise and be as God. You know. Well, no. I don't think so. You're created. You're a non-elect angel, Lucifer. And you think that you're going to arise and be as God? To whom will you liken God? What likeness will you compare unto the Creator of the universe? What likeness will you compare unto a sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God? Verse 19, the workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. What was it that the people of Israel did when, you know, when Moses went up to receive the Ten Commandments? You know, Aaron says, give me all your gold and your bracelets and your earrings, and we'll make us a golden calf and worship it. That'll be your God. Verse 20, he that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth the tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you ever gone to a museum and gone in and seen all of these images that are created out of wood and stubble? And God wants to remind us that the people that do that is so impoverished spiritually, that they choose a tree to make a graven image to worship. A tree, the same tree that they will cut down and burn in the fire for heat, or burn in the fire to cook their food upon. Verse 21, have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? Verse 22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. It is he that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. You know, it's amazing to me that Isaiah here is so eloquent in describing the sovereign creator of the universe, that He's the one that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And inhabitants, there are as of grasshoppers. Have you ever seen a grasshopper? Have you ever tried to step on a grasshopper and just about the minute you're ready to step on it, it hops away? And then you try to get it again, it hops away. That's what we are. We're less than grasshoppers. You know? We're hopping around down here. God could smash us into bits with just a blink of his eye. I mean, he's the one that stretched out the heavens as a curtain and spread them out as a tent to dwell in. You know, have you ever dwelled in a tent that is spinning 66,000 miles an hour? I hope not. You know, have you ever been in a tent that's circuit, you know, going around in an orbit? No. God created this earth and it stood still. It's fast. It's unshakable. It can't be moved. The only one that can shake this earth is God himself. And he can shake it with volcanoes, and he can bring hurricanes and storms and floods. But God is the one who has all power over the earth. Verse 23, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of earth as vanity. You know, some of these judges kind of get the big head in their black robes, don't they? They think, do you know who I am? Well, he bringeth the princes to nothing. These people are born into wealth and second, third degree wealth, and you know, their fathers and their mothers were princes and kings and queens. But what does the scripture say? He bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. You know, you see some of these people in their attitude that they think they can do something. You know, the way they get up and try to prance around and act like they are really somebody. 24. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. So the next time you see someone up mocking and blaspheming God, just remember this 24th verse here. He shall blow upon them. They shall wither and whirl. Well, the next time you see Obama up prancing around in his prideful manner and opening his mouth, realize that he is only there by the sovereign will of God. And God is using him to accomplish his own purposes. He said, for this same purpose will I raise thee up, that my power might be known throughout the whole earth. He could stop Obama anytime he wanted to by just blowing on him. 25. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? To whom then will ye liken me? You think you're going to stand against the almighty, powerful, omnipotent God? Do you think you're going to shake your fist in his face? What a absolute asinine thought. Verse 26, lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Do you know that God created all the hosts of heaven? all Christ, it says, by him were all things created, and not anything was created that wasn't created by him. Principalities, invisible things, visible things, all things were created by him and for him. And he says, lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things. How many millions of angels does he have at his beckon and call? 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? You cannot hide from God. God sees all things. He knows all things. He created all things. And he is the one for whom we have to do. You know, Job said he put his hand on his mouth and repented in dust and ashes. Verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary, there is no searching of his understanding. God's not taking a power nap, okay? God doesn't need a power nap. You know, it says that he fainteth not, neither is weary. God doesn't go to sleep. God doesn't need rest. God is, when it says that God is all powerful, that's what it means. There's no searching of his understanding. He knows all things. And you're going to enlighten God? You're going to give God some ideas how he could be better than you than he is? Who has been his counselor? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. God's not taking a power nap. Okay? Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, he increaseth strength. You know, God has a certain amount of long-suffering and joy over those who are the first to admit that they need him. God looks down on the sons of men, and those who are fainting and wanting in the way, it says he has a feeling for them, and he gives them strength. Gives power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, he increaseth strength. Even, verse 30, the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Sometimes young people think that they have all the strength in the world. They can run the fastest, and they're the smartest, and they think that they are invincible. But it says here, the young men shall utterly fall. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Where does this strength come from? From waiting upon the Lord, from trusting in the Lord. Not trusting in the strength of their own legs and arms. You know, not going and believing that by working out at the gym, you're going to become invincible. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. This is preservation. God is going to preserve his people. And so this is a beautiful, wonderful chapter. And I'll leave you with the first two chapters. The first two verses of chapter 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Christ said, it is finished. And so this is the word that we have today. Isaiah chapter 40 is a beautiful, beautiful encouragement for God's people. May God bless you this day.